A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You're listening to Acton Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to an impromptu, rather impromptu edition of Achtung Millwall, number 385. My name is Nick Hart, and this is the number one Millwall podcast, as you all know. Impromptu. Well, it just struck me that I actually missed an anniversary, not a personal one, well, I do miss those. Well, not a birthday, but I do miss those. But an anniversary of 20 years ago, which took place last week. Famous victory, Millwall 5, Oldham Athletic 0, dated May the 5th, 2001. We became Division 2 champions with this fine win, of course, 20 years ago, if you can believe that. Funny how the time slips away, like the song says. And I actually missed it. I saw some posts at the time and I thought to myself, I must do a show to commemorate that particular victory, and then it went out of my head, and it's just come back into my head. So I'm rather blagging this as I go along. Forgive me if the frayed edges show at any point, dear listeners. But I thought it'd be worthwhile us all just marking the 20th anniversary of one of the golden days in the history of our club. It's the kind of game and the kind of moment that doesn't come along very often in your footballing life, and especially if you're in a Millwall footballing life. This was a culmination of a fantastic season. For many, many reasons, obviously on the pitch, we were champions of the Division 2, it was called then, League 1 it would be called now, the third tier, the third division in old money. But to be champions of any competition that you take part in is a great achievement. This was a great season to be a Millwall fan. Personal reasons, which I won't go too deeply into, but I went for the whole season with my ex-partners, young son, and we had a shared bond for this season, which would finish up in well, we won't go where it finished up, dear listeners. Let's not dwell on that later on in the 2000s. But this was a great time to follow the Lions. The 2000 to 2001 season had started, of course, under the management of great club servants, Keith Stevens, Rhino, and Alan McCleary, Rhino and Macca, as they were known. Both had stepped into the breach in management terms during difficult times in the aftermath of Billy Bond's, the administration, the early days of the chairmanship of Theo Pathetis. And they'd taken the club as far as it could be taken. And it reminds me in some respects of Neil Harris's own tenure as manager. They were both Millwall men through and through, as is Bomber. But both had taken us as far as we could go. Mount McGee would of course be the man that took over from them in the September of 2000 and would actually be the man to see us through to promotion and on to a colossal season the year after, but we'll come back to that another day. So as I say, this was the culmination of Theo's project, where he'd come into the chairmanship on the brink of us failing to exist. I think, I don't know if that's too dramatic a way to put it, we're in administration. In 1997, the club had reached a bottom point. Theo Pathetis came in with a very short time remaining before the club would have gone out of business. So it was a near-death experience for the Lions in the late 1990s. And Theo basically applied his business savvy. He was known as a retail entrepreneur. And he used those basic principles, cutting costs. I mean, I don't think there's any great secret. It's quite hard to do this, but the solutions are easy. The execution's often quite hard, but he cut costs left, right and centre. and back to youth because there was no other option in terms of the playing staff, producing one of the classic sides of Millwall history. So as we say, this is a 5-0 win over Oldham Athletic that would seal the championship. We'd actually won promotion the week before with a 1-1 draw at Wrexham, another famous day, away day, but this would secure the second division championship. I'm going to run through this classic side because the name's almost rather like the 1988 side, listeners. They almost, you know, reel off from memory. You don't need to repeat them. In goal, Tony Warner, the back line, Robbie Ryan, Stuart Nevercott, Sean Dyche. The midfield, Lucas Neal, Tim Cahill, David Livermore, Stephen Reid. Up front, Paul Moody and Neil Harris. What a lineup. Players there that will go on to greater glory. Tim Cahill, obviously, Lucas Neal, Stephen Reid, all would achieve Premier League stature later in their career. Neil Harris almost certainly would have done, but for the his illness, the cancer that would be diagnosed in the summertime after this fixture. But that's a classic lineup, and one that even now, looking at the team photo in the aftermath of victory, as a shot of the team surrounding the trophy and the joy on the faces of the players, it's wonderful. Even now, it puts makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up just to see it. There is YouTube coverage for this, listeners, and there's actually quite extensive YouTube coverage. If you go onto YouTube and search Millwall 5 Oldham 0, you'll get full game coverage, the whole 90 minutes, which is pretty good. I think the club must have posted it on there at some point. And it's the whole unedited 90 minutes from start through to finish. Wonderful viewing if you ever have a board, you know, as we've got the summertime coming and you get bored, have a look at it. It's a great day. Ticker tape on the pitch, the den familiar yet slightly strange. And I mean, the goal nets are different. 18,510. We're in the ground that day. If memory serves, we had the away end and all four sides, and the Oldham fans, such as there were for this fixture, were actually contained in a small section of the West Upper in the far corner with no particular bother because no one was actually that concerned about Oldham on this particular day. There is a shorter condensed highlight video online as well as the full 90 minutes if you don't have time to devote to it. It's worth it. It's quite interesting to look at it. I found one, no press, but one report from the BBC dated Saturday, May the 5th. The headline is Millwall Clinch Title. It's there with two-goal hero Neil Harris in the all-white kit, the famous Giorgio all-white kit. I quite like that kit. I know some people don't, but I did. Still do. The report goes, Neil Harris struck twice as Millwall thrashed Oldham 5-0 to clinch the second division title. The Lions striker sprung the offside trap in the 22nd minute before crossing for Paul Moody to bundle home from close. 10 minutes later, Harris beat veteran Oldham keeper Gary Kelly with a deft chip from outside the area. And I remember that goal. Some goals have faded from the memory. I remember the 5-0 win. I remember being there and all the rest of it. But the deft chip, as they put it here in the BBC, sticks in my mind even now. It's one of those exhilarating moments where, I don't know, everything comes together in one moment. It can only last a short time. The flame burns bright and then it goes. But it's just one of those moments that you live for as a football fan, as a Millwall supporter. The report continues that a stunned Oldham side were never in the game as Millwall began to cut through their defence with ever-increasing ease. Harris was a constant menace throughout. He teed up Stephen Reid to slam home Millwall's third, which is an absolute slam. But slam is the right word. A solid, solid shot from the edge of the penalty area for 3-0 early in the second half. Harris then marked a fine performance after 67 minutes, spinning in the box and crossing for Paul Moody to head home his second goal of the afternoon. Then deep in stoppage time, Harris illustrated the selfishness a striker requires to thrive at this level as he wrestled the ball from strike partner Paul Moody to fire home Mills' fifth from the penalty spot to make it 5-0. Moody was on a hat-trick and Neil Harris wrestled the ball off of him. I do remember that. It made me laugh at the time. It still makes me laugh even now to think of it, to slam home his second of the game. So goals, 21 minutes Paul Moody, 30 minutes Neil Harris, 52 Stephen Reid, 66 Paul Moody, and then 90th minute Neil Harris via the penalty spot. Cheer up, Mark McGee, we used to sing, didn't we, in the pre-match build-up and during the game. It would all come to a Millwall crash and Millwall burn at the end of the 2001-2002 season, but these were grand days to be a Millwall fan. We'll pick out a few players from that lineup. Some of them are really well known, so I'm not sure I'm going to be adding much to your body of knowledge of Millwall, dear listeners, but there we are. This is a fun edition. Lucas Neal, what a player. Winger stroke midfielder, listed on the Millwall History website. Born in Sydney, Australia, 9th of March 1978. Signed for Millwall from the Australian Academy of Sport. That's a great place to be signed from. In 1995, we sold him to Blackburn for £600,000, rising to a million after 40 appearances in 2001. 145 appearances for the Lions in that time, 30 as a substitute for Lucas, 14 goals. Always one of my favourite players. He always seemed to promise, maybe he promised more than he ever delivered. Skills were apparent from the very start. You always had a sense that Lucas could have gone further. I think possibly even in his later career. Is that being harsh? I don't know. Probably as a bloke that never played even for his school, to criticise another player for where he did get to in the game. After Blackburn, Lucas Neal would progress on to West Ham, of course, Everton, Galatasaray, then some Arabian clubs, Al Jazeera, Al Wasi, then back home to Sydney, and a brief spell at Watford in 2014. Doncaster, I didn't know he finished up at Doncaster, 2014 with four appearances. 95 appearances for his country, for Australia, one goal for the Australian national side. Honours, this is my point. I always thought that Lucas had the full armoury of skills to go to the very highest levels, and maybe he never pursued it there. His main honour, obviously, a second division medal with Millwall Football League, second division, 2001. A League Cup win with Blackburn, I don't know how that would relate to. It probably supersedes a League Division 2 title, but I personally think that the Division 2 title supersedes the League Cup win. And then President's Cup for Al Jazeera, some Australian tournaments in the early 90s. And Millwall Player of the Year in 1996-97. Lucas went far and wide, and like so many before and some since, Millwall was the pinnacle of his career, but they didn't know it at the time. I always thought that Lucas had his eyes elsewhere, but there it is. Lucas Neal, one of my favourite players of that era, and any era for that matter. His fellow countryman, of course. Who else am I going to name when I get the chance but Mr. Tim Cahill? 241 appearances for the Lions, 19 as a substitute, 57 goals. How we'd give our right arms for the Tim Cahill of his pomp in the current side. Two spells, of course. 1997, when he signed from Sydney United in Australia, July 97. And then we sold him to Everton for £1.5 million. I think rather like Lucas, I think both of those fees look very low. For a man with Theo's business acumen, both of those fees look low. I know it's a different market then. That was in 2004. And then second spell in 2018, that strange second spell. He returned from Melbourne City in January 2018 on a free transfer, and then the contract ended in the May. That wasn't such a great spell. It was great in the moment when he first appeared in that evening game at the Den. His contribution was minimal at that point, but not so in his earlier career. A major part of the promotion in 2000-2001, a major part of the oh-so-close 2001-2 season, and then, of course, the cup final run of 2004. Tim Cahill was a dynamo in midfield where Lucas Neal supplied silky skills. I think probably a good way to assess Tim Cahill, don't know if you agree with this, dear listeners, would be just a sheer determination to win tackles, to win the game. He could hang in the air for seemingly Michael Jordan levels in the hang time in the air going into the box. He brought a dynamism to the midfield that was wonderful to watch at the time. It'd be wonderful to see a hint of it now in the current side. It's something that's been lacking this season. But Tim Cahill, Timothy Filiga Cahill, to give him his full name, aged 41 now. An attacking midfield after leaving Millwall in 2004. We joined Everton, as we said, with 226 appearances for Everton. When Tim posts online, he has a dual relationship. I always feel like we're the other woman in a love triangle with Everton and Millwall for him. Never mentions or hardly mentions the New York Red Bulls where he went to in 2012. 62 appearances in, what's that, the North American Soccer League, Major League Soccer, not NASL, is it anymore? Played in China for Shanghai Shenhua, then Hangzhou Greentown, then back to Oz for Melbourne City, and then in that brief period for the Lions. Oh, he played in India, Jamshedpur, after leaving us. An international for his Australian Nationals, 108 international caps for Australia, 50 goals for the national side, also capped at Australian under-23 level and Western Samoa under-20s. One of the great players, one of the great Millwall players of all time, in my opinion, Tim Cahill, a fantastic player to watch and one of the reasons, in my opinion, why you fall in love with the game. And my final choice, a personal favourite player, Paul Moody. He'd probably be a bit part player in the history of Millwall if ever such a document were to be fully written from start through to finish now. He's only with us for two seasons, signed in 1999, and he left us in 2002. Just 47 starts for Paul Moody, 15 as a substitute, 24 goals, 24 invaluable goals spread across, especially the promotion season. A big man up front. I mean, he made the perfect partnership with Neil Harris going forwards. It suited the style that we were playing. He was like, I suppose Matt Smith is an equivalent level of player. Paul Moody probably brought a bit more brute force and just sheer physical presence, combined with, and like many big men, often quite light on his feet. And he actually had more skill than I think probably the football world gave him credit. He was renowned as a, you know, as the eternal unit, big unit up front. But anyone that followed his game at the time, I took quite a shine to Paul Moody in this season. Actually had a lot more skill on the ground than I think he was ever really given credit for. A massive contributor to our promotion season alongside Neil Harris. He was on a hat-trick in this particular game that we looked at until Harris pulled the ball off of him. Not the ball, the ball off of him. For that final penalty. Paul Moody, born in 1967. His career began in 1990 at non-league with Waterlooville. He played for Southampton 12 times. Loaned to Reading. The main bulk of his career spent at Oxford, 1994 to 97. 40 games for Fulham. Then 47 starts, 15 as a substitute for the Lions, as we've said already. And then after leaving Millwall, back to Oxford 35 times and then Aldershot to finish his career. I remember sitting next to him. The club must have found him a ticket for the infamous Birmingham game, the one that turned into a pitch battle outside on the Zampa Road. And Paul Moody sat just in front of me, and I got my programme autographed. And long while ago, and that programme must have gone. It disappeared into the same furnace that everything else disappeared into from my life around that time. Anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that. This is not the podcast for that, for Nick's private life. So there we are. Paul Moody, great servant for this particular season. 6'3", a striker that we could really do with today, in my opinion. Paul Moody, Tim Cahill and Lucas Neil. My selection from today's chosen fixture, the anniversary fixture, only a week late, but that's probably, you know, about par for the course for me, dear listeners. Millwall 5, Oldham Athletic 0 in front of 18,510. Played 20 years ago and 1 week on May the 5th, 2001. Hope you've enjoyed this particular acknowledgement of one of the great days in my Millwall life. It's up there with some of the big moments because it was a really enjoyable season for all the reasons we've touched on. So there we are. We'll be back with a couple of end-of-season shows. Recording with the chaps tomorrow and then on Thursday. So until then, I hope you enjoyed this little impromptu edition. As I say, it's done pretty much on the hoof, so apologies if it's a bit ropey around the edges. But until then, dear listeners, it's arrivederci Mill and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aspen Mill. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Mill. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch? Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.